Wake up, Chicago. This is the Santita Jackson Show.
Hey, everybody. Wake up, Chicago. It's Santita Jackson on WCPT 820, the nation's largest progressive talk radio station. Let's talk about it, everybody. Let's talk about a lot of stuff today. We just had a wonderful segment with Dr. Brenda Wade as we talked about creative visualization. You know, some of the most successful people in the world, and I'm not saying monetary success. I mean, people who are living the lives that they believe that they were sent here to live, they will all tell you, to a man, to a woman, first of all, I saw it. When I see it, I can be it. We're going to start doing that on this show because I think that we can also transform not just ourselves, but our country and our world if we have a mind to do so. That's why we try to, I really wanted to have a platform on this show on WCPT 820, the Santita Jackson Show. I wanted us to be able to talk with each other. We're not always going to agree. Come on, I disagree with some things I thought last week. You change your mind. What are you going to do, be mad with yourself? And some people are doing that, but we have got to do not just better, we have to do right. We can have the society that we really want, but we're going to have to change our thinking, change our mindset. So we have to speak that which is best into existence. We can do that. And so I want you to go to WCBT820.com and tell them about this show and tell them about all the great stuff that we have going on at this wonderful station. Go to TuneIn. You can listen to us there as well. And you can go to WCBT820 right now. That's right. And join all the ladies on the morning stars. That's right. It's so good to have everybody over there. And I'm streaming also on the Santita Jackson and Friends page. And of course, we will have the after show on the Santita Jackson and Friends page, where we talk about 15, 20 minutes about the show and other stuff. Excuse me. So, you know, you want to do that. We're talking about politics, though. We have another Democratic debate tonight. 10 people qualified, and they will be on the stage. Some people are running, but they were not able to get onto the stage with all of the various requirements. And so what do you want to hear tonight? Many people have been waiting to see the insurgent candidate, I guess we can call her that now, Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren, slow and steady. She has been climbing up the polls, and now she is rivaling Bernie Sanders for the number two spot, and she continues to move forward. What's going to happen with her tonight? What is she going to say? What will Vice President Biden say? What will they say to or about each other? Because guess what? They've been what the Washington Post called them, frenemies. They have had some really sharp policy differences, really, really, really. And they've had some sharp exchanges in congressional hearings and Senate hearings. They have. They really have. So I want to know what they're going to say. And Lady B, how did you like Dr. Wade?
I loved it. I enjoyed it.
What'd you love about it?
Well, the in visualizing your goals and what you want to reach, that was perfect. And yeah, I'm going to start using that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm hoping that people, that's a takeaway this morning, right? Yeah. As we go into these headlines, I hope that, you know, we're going to continue to elevate here, yeah. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what that's so, and go to love@docwade.com so that you can get her free teleseminar. It's free. That's right. She wants people to be well. That's right. Oh, let's get to these headlines. President Trump has moved to ban these flavored e-cigarettes. Trump administration officials alarmed by new data showing a huge jump in vaping by young people said they are moving to ban most flavored e-cigarettes, a major development that could result in sweeping changes in the sprawling market. In an Oval Office meeting that included First Lady Melania Trump, President Trump said, "We can't allow people to get sick. And we can't have our youth be so affected." And he added that the First Lady, who tweeted a warning about vaping, feels, quote, very, very strongly about the issue because of their 13-year-old son, Barron. The Supreme Court ruled on Wednesday to allow the Trump administration to enforce nationwide restrictions that would allow most Central American immigrants from seeking asylum in the U.S. The administration announced in July a new policy that would deny asylum to anyone who passes through another country on the way to the U.S. without seeking protection there first. So, therefore, most immigrants at the U.S.-Mexico border will be affected. And so we'll see how this goes. Call us at 773-763-WCPT, 773-763-WCPT. Let us know what you think about all of the headlines as we go into this political discussion. Hampton University, one of our nation's HBCUs, has offered to help college students in the Bahamas who have been affected by Hurricane Dorian. Hampton University will offer a free semester to University of the Bahamas students displaced by the deadly storm. They will be able to continue their studies on the Hampton University campus, which is a beautiful campus, everybody, down in Hampton, Virginia. It's sitting right on the water. On the water, yes, and a very calm water, very calm lake at that. And they will be there for the fall 2019 semester for no charge. The school's leaders came to an agreement, this agreement after the hurricane caused extensive damage to the island nation. So excited about that. And Michael Jordan, our Superman from Chicago, has donated $1 million to the hurricane relief to the people of the Bahamas. There's a case that needs settling in Maryland, HBCUs. See, in Mississippi some years ago, there was a case that was settled for $517 million, which is about $791 million in today's money. Well, in Maryland, they had the four historically black colleges there have the same kind of case, and they are needing $577 million that is owed to them, and they are willing to make a deal to have that money distributed to them over a reasonable period of time. This money will be used by the HBCUs to develop and launch a number of new independent academic programs of the kind the state promised to provide in 2000. That was almost 20 years ago. And this was an agreement ordered by a federal judge in Maryland. The lead lawyer in this suit said, quote, this would allow the schools to hire quality faculty to run these programs. In addition, these funds would be used to provide scholarships that would enable the HBCUs to better compete for students and provide for substantial rebranding to offset the state's decades of stigmatization of black schools. Dancers, writers, caddies, the gig workers who could benefit from California's historic AB5 bill will go into effect in 2020. This groundbreaking legislation passed by California lawmakers on Wednesday has been lauded for its potential to transform the way tech companies such as Uber and Lyft treat their drivers. A hugely diverse range of professions, from cable installers to exotic dancers and writers, will also be affected by this bill. Good for them. Jared Wilson, 30-year-old pastor who ran a suicide outreach group. Bless his heart, he committed suicide himself on Monday. He was the associate pastor of the Mega Church Harvest Christian Fellowship. He died on Monday, according to the senior pastor of the church. He committed suicide. And as Pastor Lori said, quote, at a time like this, there are just no words. The Bible says there is a time to mourn. This is certainly that time. He is survived by his wife, Judy, and two young sons and other family members. God bless him and that family, and that church family. The Trump administration is planning to launch a sweeping effort to address homelessness in California, citing the state's growing crisis, according to four government officials aware of the effort. But it's unclear how they're going to do this. Well, one recommendation has been they're considering housing homeless people in government facilities, according to a new report. Members of the Trump administration visited Los Angeles on Tuesday to study the city's homelessness crisis. Around 36,000 people live in makeshift camps on the streets of Los Angeles, while 59,000 people in the county of Los Angeles are homeless, according to the Los Angeles Times. Officials are considering a plan to raise, that is, knock down these existing camps where these homeless people live and house the homeless in government facilities. What would that look like? I do not know. Well, an Alaska high school earned a victory out of the water as well as in the water when the Alaska School Activities Association reversed a controversial disqualification because of a swimsuit that an official ruled to be a violation of the sport's modesty rules. The win by Brecken Willis, a swimmer at Anchorage's Diamonds High School, was restored Tuesday, less than an hour after a formal appeal by the Anchorage School District on behalf of the senior and her team. The school district had called the disqualification heavy-handed and unnecessary, asserting that our swimmer was targeted based solely on how a standard school-issued uniform happened to fit the shape of her body. I have to talk about that because there's a lot to that. There's a 9-year-old child who on his birthday had his hot lunch taken from him because his grandmother owed $9.75 in lunch debt. Young Jefferson Sharpnack, he's at an elementary school in Ohio. He received his hot lunch, but then it was taken away when it was found that his grandmother owes $9.75, and everybody, this was on his birthday. Diane Bailey told the NBC affiliate WKYC that her grandson attends the Green Primary School in Uniontown, a city southeast of Akron. But after receiving the lunch, it was handed to him, and then it was taken back. Wow. What did they do with that meal? They probably threw it away. Well, Felicity Huffman says that she doesn't deserve any jail time. Of course, Felicity Huffman was one of the high-profile Hollywood stars who was involved in trying to bribe their children into college. Well, she wants to make it clear to the judge sentencing her that what she did in the college case didn't hurt anyone, and therefore there's no precedent to put her in prison for even a day. Wow. What do you think about that? Well, it showed. Now, guess what? To be a middle-class American in a major American city, you need $350,000 in salary per year. Wow. That is according to Sam Dogan of the Financial Samurai blog. And it shows that 95% of U.S. households do not make that much money. And this was published on CNBC. So people are talking about this everywhere. Got to talk about that ourselves. How many of us make $350,000 a year? Wow. Annette Nance Holt, whose son Blair was killed in 2007, and Pamela Montgomery Bosley, whose 18-year-old son Terrell was gunned down in a Southside parking lot, church parking lot, as he helped a friend unload drums from a car. Well, they have come together to unveil a project next week that speaks to the spate of killings that has racked the city and the nation. It's a memorial to victims of gun violence. On Wednesday, the mothers inserted personal belongings representing their sons into the memorial, which consists of four small houses, each painted white. Within, the honeycomb-like walls are opening, shaped like a brick, where artifacts can be placed and viewed from both inside and out. Without tears, Nance Holt inserted her son's orange lanyard from the Julian High School, his last high school photograph, and a CD he made, a symbol of his desire to be a musician's manager. We're going to have to get them on, Lady B, so we can talk with them, because they just do. These women, after these tragedies, they just continue to move forward and try and lift all of us up. A secret vote. Did you know that a secret vote will choose the Cook County's next judicial chief? Yeah, more than 250 Cook County judges can elect the next head of the area's enormous court system today in a secretive process that will determine if Chief Judge Timothy Evans seizes a 7th 3-year term atop a critical layer of local government. Wow. Time is ticking on the new teachers' contract strike, and the Chicago schools chief, Janice Jackson, says she'll join talks when the time is appropriate. 20 more victims of the mysterious vaping illness have been reported in the state of Illinois, and it turns out aldermen are now going to okay guidelines for the release of the inspector general reports on serious incidents, including the deaths of Laquan McDonald and David Koshman. Mayor Lori Lightfoot's $3 million affordable housing plan has hit a snag. Her plan to chip away at Chicago's affordable housing crisis and prevent longtime residents from being priced out of homes in fast-growing neighborhoods hit a roadblock on Wednesday. Here's hoping that that will change. Even as a Cook County judge, expressed sympathy for community groups suing to block tax subsidies for the Lincoln Yards development, but the judge, Neil Cohen, offered withering criticism of their legal theories during a court hearing on Wednesday. Ann Burke, the wife of indicted 14th Ward Alderman Ed Burke, has served on the state Supreme Court since 2006, and now she will become the next Chief Justice of the state's highest court. She's served again since 2006, and she was selected by her fellow justices as the leading justice. Congratulations to her. Former AG Lisa Madigan has joined Kirkland & Ellis, one of the top law firms in the world. Let's get to some sports. Wow. Our baseball teams had a tough time yesterday. The San Diego Padres, 4-0 over the Cubs. The Kansas City Royals, 8-6 over the White Sox. But our Lady Sky, 105-76 over the Phoenix Mercury. Yes, and the Red Stars, guess what? They were triumphant over the Orlando Pride, 1-0. And the Fire and the Bears will be playing this weekend, along with the HBCU Classic. Hello, Howard. You know, we'll be playing Hampton. We love it. We love it. We love it. The markets closed up yesterday. The Dow was up 227 points. The NASDAQ was up 85 points. The S&P was up 21 points. And today it is raining, everybody. It's really raining. We're going to have a high of 75. It's about 66 right now. Are you going to be watching the debates tonight? Call me at 773-763-9278. 773-763-9278. Are you tired of the debates already, or are you now just beginning to get geared up for them? Because we're just a few months away from the first primaries. I mean, things are, 2020 is now in full effect, everybody. We are, now we're in the race. So what do you think? What do you expect to see tonight? Do you even care? Well, I think that you should, but I want to know what you think. So before we go to Charles Ellison, well, let me just get to Charles Ellison real quick. Charles Ellison, welcome to the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks, Tina. Good morning.
Good morning.
Always a pleasure.
WURD up in Philly. I love it. I love it. I love it. But yeah, I've got about 3 minutes. You've got the floor.
Yeah, you know, as far as this debate tonight, a few things here. I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, the Democratic candidates, since they're slimmed down, since you're down to a good pack of 10 candidates, right? I'm hoping that the candidates focus more on presenting their policy platforms and how strong those are, as opposed to, you know, sort of looking for these really good, snarky, snipey moments, you know, who can take down the other candidate the best. I think that that's what the Democratic field really needs to focus on. I think the Democratic primary voters, I think they're a bit, I wouldn't say exhausted, but a bit beleaguered by that, because I think the focus right now is people want to just get through the primaries and get to 2020. So, you know, that's one. You know, in terms of, you know, focusing less on, okay, well, how can we further erode the lead of Joe Biden? You know, that's what I've seen from the past couple of days, at least based on my impression, more focus on how can we erode Joe Biden's lead, as opposed to, okay, well, what's my vision for post-Trump America? I think people want to hear more of that and more focus on those quality of life issues.
You know, I'm hoping so. I mean, there's a poll that shows that there's some movement for Elizabeth Warren. But overall, according to this report from NPR, voters are lukewarm on Democrats. I mean, no one has really excited them yet.
Right.
Nobody. Do you believe that to be true? Is that what you're hearing on your radio show?
That's what I'm hearing. You know, I think that Democrats have got to make a case that's more than voting for the Trump alternative. You know, they've got to talk more about, you know, it's sort of the same sort of 2016 formula right now. It's, hey, you know, you've got this clown in the White House. You've got someone who clearly everyone's exhausted by, fatigued from. He has a very chaotic, dangerous style of how he's running the government. It's very corrupt. People know that. You know, tell us something we don't know. But why should we vote for you? It shouldn't just be about why we should vote against Trump. It's about, like, well, you know, at the end of the day, elections are also about candidates or opposing candidates being able to paint or craft their vision for, you know, how they'd better run things. And the Democratic field really hasn't really illustrated that case effectively yet. They haven't, I think that's what people are really wanting to start to see from each of these candidates that can inspire me. A new vision, right? You know, and I don't think right now, from what I'm hearing, folks are not really seeing that yet. Yeah, you know, everyone's well, not everyone, but there's a huge slice of the American population that can't wait to get to November 2020 and vote against Trump. But they also want to feel comfortable about who they are voting for in the process of voting against Trump.
Mm, it's not enough just to be anti-Trump, everybody. It's not. That's never a good policy. What are you for? What kind of country do you want? What do you need where you are? Are you going to vote in the local and statewide elections? Because that's where we need a heavy lift as well. The districting, so much of how we live from day to day is determined by your local and state officials. So what do you think about the debate tonight? Call us. Talk with Charles Ellison of WURD Radio in Philadelphia. Brilliant, brilliant Washington insider. He is a great journalist, and he is there observing, and he's talking to people in Philadelphia and in Washington and all around the nation every day. I want to know what you think. What do you want to hear in this debate tonight? Are you planning to watch? Are you tired of it already? Don't be tired, everybody. You need to know what's going on. Don't let these reporters report to you. You need to find out for yourself. Listen for yourself, and then you make the determination, because you know I'm going to ask you tomorrow. I think it's important. More of the Santita Jackson Show in just a few minutes right here on WCPT 820, the nation's largest progressive talk radio station. 773-763-WCPT, 773-763-9278. We're taking your calls.
WCPT 820, Chicago's progressive talk, where facts matter.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Santita Jackson Show. We're talking with Charles Ellison. Charles Ellison. There's so much going on. We got a lot of callers, and I'm going to have to get right to them. But, you know, very quickly, before we get to these callers, or as we get to the callers, as we do, the North Carolina Republican race, Congressional District 9, you know,
right,
the race that they tried to steal, they won anyway. President Trump went down there and said, you know, basically, you know, this is a vote on me. And
right,
the Republicans won. What do you make of that? Is that a harbinger of things to come? I've just contended a lot of people who support the president are not admitting it. He's got some support.
Harbinger of things that come on a couple of levels, Santita. One, you know, don't trust the water cooler conversation. You know, don't trust a lot of your colleagues, particularly your white colleagues at work, who are saying, oh, you know, I would never vote again for that clown in the White House. I would never do it again. Like, just don't trust that. I mean, you know, we're also seeing polling data where 54% of white men still approve of the president.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly half of white women still approve of the president. So that, and a lot of people aren't even honest with anonymous polls. So there still could be a large slice of white voters who are still feeling like, okay, you know what, I could tolerate another 4 years of this president. Another thing is that here we go again with Democrats refusing to tap into black voters as a winning resource in tight elections like what happened in North Carolina District 9. North Carolina has counties like North Carolina's Congressional District 9 has counties like Robeson County. Robeson County is about 25% black. It also has parts of Mecklenburg County, which is a massive concentration also of black residents and also black voters. And there are signs that the Democratic Party there, that the Democratic candidate, Dan McCready, failed to or just refused to acknowledge that, hey, you know what? Let's get some extra black voters in this historically reliably red congressional district to get us over the top. First of all, there should not have been a revote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so clear evidence of ballot theft, not allegations of ballot fraud, ballot theft took place in Congressional District 9. So to me, Republicans the other night got rewarded for cheating in an election. Yeah, you even had the state North Carolina Board of Elections say that there was clear ballot theft that took place. They wouldn't certify the election. The U.S. House of Representatives wouldn't certify the election. So it's, you know, everyone knew what the Republican candidate back in 2018 did. Why are we doing a revote? Why did Dan McCready even concede in the first place when it was only a 904 vote win margin? And there was enough already suspicion aroused to further investigate and put that election, that election on hold. So we shouldn't have even had a special election the other day. But lastly, real quick, this is a harbinger of Democrats once again not considering that black voters are their key to a win, to winning the presidential race and key Senate and even some House races in 2020. And it is just refusing to do that. And we saw them make that exact same mistake just the other night in North Carolina 9.
Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Let me go to you, Ronald, from the South Side. Ronald, thank you for holding. Ronald?
Good morning, Santita. How are you?
Oh, doing great, darling. What's your comment or question?
Well, my comment is this. I hope tonight, first of all, there are no personal attacks. We don't need that. We need to come together and have a substantive discussion on what's going on. I would say to them, don't allow the moderators to pit one against another on that debate stage, because that doesn't solve anything. Let's have a substantive discussion about policy, about things that we need to do, and where we can come together. And where we disagree, then we can have a discussion about that. It can come to a solution.
Now look, I hear you. Well, I'm hoping that that's what we will hear tonight, but we will have to see. Let me go to you, Tim. How you doing, Tim?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I voted for Governor Quinn over Governor Rauner. And the reason being is that I recognize, you know, what's a good person and what's probably not a person that I want to have representing me. Right now, I think nobody has really explained what the word progressive actually means in actuality. What does progressive mean? Because right now, as I look at the people tonight, and when I look at the people up there on that board, they look to me more like authoritarians, more like the Politburo of Soviet Russia than I see democratic consensus. I mean,
well, then
right
let me
now,
ask you this:
you have 11 governors who've just said. Mm-hmm. That they want to make me a felon.
Well let me ask you this.
They want to outlaw my belongings and turn me into a felon.
Well, hold on. Well, then what do you make of the Republicans canceling primaries?
Well, I mean, look what you did to Gabby.
Keep the issue where it was. I asked you a question about the Republicans, and I'm not trying to be partisan. I would object to this if Democrats did this. Just very quickly, what do you make of that? Canceling primaries.
I don't like it, and I think it's exactly the same thing that happened in Tulsi Gabbard.
It's not exactly the same thing, Tim. Well, I mean, with all due respect, it's not the same thing. She's getting pushback.
Voices of opposition.
Yeah.
Voices of opposition and questioning authority will not be listened to.
Well, you know, and there's nothing new with that, Tim. All I'm saying is when you start canceling, but you know, and you're right, it's a mission creep. It's a slow creep. But I think that Republicans, I think that everybody should stand up and talk about that, because that, to me, is very dangerous more than anything. Your final comment.
Well, my final comment is that we're letting people take away our rights.
Mm.
We're giving up our rights. And it seems to me like When I listen to people like the Democratic Party right now, it's like, no, we will tell you how to live. We will tell you what light bulbs use. We will tell you what your thermostat will be set at. We will tell you what your roof is made of. We will tell you how to talk in school. I mean, this is getting scary, very, very, very nervy.
Well, I think you should. I hear you. I'm hearing you. I might not agree with you necessarily, but I hear you, and I wanted you to be heard. But I hope that you will also look at the ending of primaries. I mean, I don't think that's right.
I don't like that. I agree with you.
I think we should all be uncomfortable with all of that. You know, because dissenters always get kicked in the teeth, Tim, and it's unfortunate, but it is true. Renee, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm great, thank you.
Great. I want to say, first of all, that I am happy they're having so many debates, because I want to be informed about who I vote for in the primaries. And I only wish that we had a system where everybody could have a chance to be in some type of public debate, and not regardless of how much money that you have or how many donations you've gotten. And I'd also like to say that I'm a bit leery of this president having government facilities opened up for poor people. He has disdain for poor people, black and brown people. So those facilities might be like some we had back during the 40s called concentration camps, and that scares me.
I think we should, are you okay?
I was walking fast. I have to sign in to work.
Okay. Oh, bless your heart. I was like, wait a minute. If I need to call Holland, call 911, you know, I will do that in the middle of this show. Yes, I would.
No, all right. Be careful, folks.
I'm fine. Thank you, though. I have to sign in.
Oh, okay, girl. Thank you. God bless you. Let me go to Ron from Naperville. How you doing, Ron?
Hi. I don't want to pit caller against caller. But I would say what's really scary is if I had a uterus and someone in the government was telling me what I had to or not do with it, I would consider that probably a little bit more than, oh, I don't know, my urge for a Barrett 50 caliber machine gun or something. But that's a separate issue. You know, I'm just a Marine vet who doesn't know anything about lethal force. So here's the thing. On the debates, I think we really, 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 really need to hear people talk about, you know, the public is saying we want this or this or this with healthcare. Public is saying we want this or this or this. Well, this is where I am. If we can't accomplish the grand plan, well, let's at least accomplish plan B, which is this. And then all of a sudden everyone starts nodding on the stage. There'd be a heck of a consensus. Prescription prices. We got to figure that out. That's crazy. We got to figure out why every state in the union has to have a Blue Cross Blue Shield or a Humana corporation separate from everything else. That's just crazy talk. Let's flatten it out, make it sensible.
Very quickly, because I want to get to some other callers, but I want to hear you. What are like the top two issues that you want to hear them talk about tonight? Give me two.
I want to hear about two items. One is I want to hear their opinion on the sovereignty of people, as in women primarily, because I don't think 51-52% of the public should be ruled by the other half on their pet peeve opinions. Two, I want to hear about a health care plan that actually makes fiscal sense. And I'm not saying I don't mind taxes. I love taxes. But let's take, we got 37 million people say not properly insured. Okay, let's come up with 3.5 million people groups. Okay, you're all in different groups.
Okay.
Like you do for companies.
I hear you. I just need hold on, Ron. Yeah. I got to move to these other callers, but you know, I want you. Text me or go to WCPT 820 and let me know what, because I want to talk about this tomorrow because you talked about healthcare. I want to hear what they have to say.
I threatened Lady B that I'd write you a War and Peace love sonnet with everything. So I have to do that. So
you
I'm
didn't.
Trying to get that out to you.
You didn't threaten. Okay. You promised, my sweet. There you go.
A long time now, and now it's an empty threat. I feel like a politician.
It's not a threat. So. It's a promise. A love sonnet on peace. I'm in love. Let me go to Shapiro real quick before we get to these other callers, because I want you to respond to what you're hearing, Charles. Shapiro.
Yes, thank you so much, Santita, for taking my call.
I'm almost scared to hear what she's going to say. I don't know.
I'm probably one of the people who are not excited about this debate. I feel like it's all smoke and mirrors. It's just another stunt speeches. The moderators never give them enough time to really expound about their ideas in order for people like us to really get to know what their agenda is. And I think that we really need to condense it into like a five-person, like split the 10 into five, so that way we can actually hear, so they'll get more time to respond and be able to go back and forth with each other. Right now, it's just stump speeches. It's just crazy. But I do think that out of all of this, the Republicans have already won the election. Whether Trump is reelected or not, they've already won.
Why do you say that?
Because Trump said yesterday, probably a couple of days ago, he said, you know what? I'm going to push through 180 judges that are lifetime appointments, and we're going to set the stage for decades. So guess what? They already won. They have won. Democrats dropped the ball when Obama was too scared to do recess appointments. And now he said, Trump said, Obama left me all these judges to appoint, and I'm going to do it within 2 weeks. So he's pushing through 180-something judges in the next 2 weeks. He won. He has won because the country is going to be fixed because of the system that is going to be in place.
Mic drop. Okay, Charles, what have you heard thus far?
You know what? That last caller makes a very good point. I don't think we should acquiesce because, you know, particularly when it comes to the story of our people or black people, you know, we've never punked out of a fight. So, you know, the fight always goes on. So,
absolutely.
You know, I understand her frustration because, you know, I was frustrated, too, in Obama's second term. One, you should have pushed through a recess appointment. Two, why'd you pick a milquetoast candidate or nominee like Merrick Garland? You had a black woman, you had a black state Supreme Court justice on the short list that you should have picked. And that would have actually kind of motivated black voters a little bit more as far as voting for Hillary Clinton. It's your second term. What have you got to lose? What, you worried that you're not going to get enough money for your presidential library in Chicago? What's that all about? So, you know, I completely agree with her on that. And as far as federal judges, okay, well, you know, let's get through this big hurdle first, win that presidential election, also take the Senate back, control, have the preferred party control all levels of government. And, you know, there is an option of impeaching certain federal judges. If we see that judges or the federal judges that are being pushed through are unqualified, that is an option that's always on the table. And those are the types of options, constitutional options, that, you know, Republicans always deploy or employ. Mm-hmm. But Democrats have to, you know, they should maybe kind of take a few lines from that playbook. You know, one other thing I'm hearing too, Santina, and I think this is a rabbit hole that Democratic candidates should avoid during this debate. Please do not spend so much time on immigration. Mm-hmm. Once again, the hard stuff. Please do not spend so much time on immigration. All the calls you just got, all the calls I get on WRD, people want to hear conversations about the economy, about jobs, about health care, about what their future is going to look like as far as Social Security. They even want to talk about the environment. Immigration and the crisis that's happening on the U.S.-Mexico border, much of it manufactured by the president, don't get me wrong, that's an important issue.
Absolutely.
But it's also an issue. It's an issue that the president has also manufactured as a rabbit hole to trick Democratic candidates to get into, so he can set up very useful sound bites that he can use against them in 2020. And immigration is really the way it's defined at the moment. It's his issue. But what I'm noticing is that people are a bit frustrated, and I think Democrats are underestimating how frustrated folks are, particularly black voters, that there's a lot of time in these debates spent on immigration. People want to hear about, okay, well, what's your plan for me, a citizen and a resident of the United States in a city like Chicago or in Philly? And I'm just saying that tension is there, and Democrats are woefully underestimating it. So try to avoid that trap. It's a trap because, first of all, Democrats don't know how to have an effective immigration conversation at the moment. Republicans have dominated that messaging. So they're going to, until they figure that out, take advantage of these next few debates to focus on, once again, those quality of life issues and what your vision for America is.
Let me go to you, Yvonne. You wanted to respond to Tim?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tim had called and complained about how Tulsi Gabbard, or he felt that she had been silenced by the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Well, all of the candidates knew what the rules were. In fact, the rules had been changed with the input of Bernie Sanders and his supporters. And going into when all of the candidates were well aware of what the rules were, the rules were based on their polling and polling status and their donations, and she just didn't qualify. So it is not the same thing as you asked him about his feelings about the Republican Party, some of the states.
Four primaries have been canceled already, which, I mean,
exactly.
I'm just, as an American, I'm very disturbed by that. If Democrats were doing that, I would be disturbed. I mean, it's just disturbing to me.
Yes. Yeah. And so that is not the same thing. That's apples and oranges, as far as I'm concerned.
I hear you.
So, but I just want to point that out.
Now, look, I hear you. Let me power through some of these calls. But Yvonne, thank you for calling from Indiana. Where are you in Indiana?
I'm in Evansville, which is in southern Indiana.
Now, you know I know Evansville.
Yes.
I mean, you don't know I know it. But, you know, tragically, I remember it because of the basketball team you lost years ago. But, yes, blessings to you. And thank you for listening to us. How are you well, listening to us?
Actually, on the my phone.
Okay. Girl, join us over on WCPT. Go to Facebook and join us. Join all the ladies over there. We have a good time in the morning.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you. Let me go
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And be well. Be well. And let me go to Jackie. How you doing, Jackie?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, sweetie. What's your comment or question?
Well, I would... I just hope tonight that they don't end up attacking each other, and I hope that they don't allow the moderators to pit them against each other, to call them out on it. You know, and, you know, I agree with, I think they need to stay off of immigration and focus on the problems that are directly affecting Americans at this point. You have unclean water, and they're just rolling back regulations, the EPA, on water safety, on clean water. Focus on the things that the current administration is doing that is hurting common Americans, you know? And really, I want to hear what their platforms are. I don't want to hear them attacking each other. I want them to speak specifically to what they are proposing.
Okay. Okay, that's fair. I mean, you know, I want to hear, I want you to take this back. Some blessings to you, Jackie. Let me go to you very quickly, Roosevelt.
Santita.
Yes, Roosevelt. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. What I want to hear is what is going on right now, and that is spending is out of control. The Republicans, whenever there's a Democratic president, they're always deficit hawks. However, now spending is way out of control. Our deficit is out of control. Also, the proposals that Trump wants to cut Medicare and Social Security, that's very important in my eyes, and global warming. That's it. That's all I want to say.
No, that's a whole lot. Let me get to it, because I want to get through some of these calls. I really want to hear what's on your minds. Very quickly, Mike, your comment?
Hi, good morning. I want to hear about all of it, but I also understand my responsibility to take the time to go to a computer and those candidates that I have heard actually look up their platform, find out for myself what their platform is, because realistically, you can't expect 10 candidates to spit out everything that they're supposed to do.
That's true.
Within an hour. This is about ratings. That's the bottom line. I like your guest's response, except for I do believe as an American, it's also important to talk about immigration, because I'm from the generation where I was taught that if they come for me and you're not there, they'll come for you the next day, and there will be nobody to speak about them coming for me.
Well, hold on. I want you to clarify your point,
many of us who are African American don't actually deal with the fact that we have relatives who are from the African continent, who are the immigrants, just like the Latinos, just like everybody else.
Well, we're looking at...
I'm an American.
Right. No, Mike, you're right. You're right, Mike. But let me go back to you, Charles, because we got about a minute left in the show.
Let me clarify that Mike is absolutely right. Nearly a quarter of the entire U.S. black population is made up of black migrants, folks from our brothers and sisters from Africa and also the Caribbean as well. And there's a crisis among black diaspora migrants. We're seeing that right now with victims out of the Bahamas trying to get into the U.S. and they can't get in. So he's absolutely right. And immigration is very much a black issue, because if you let the federal government get away with unregulated, unenforced detention centers with migrants on the U.S.-Mexico border, then what's to stop them from doing that same thing to us? And there have been moments in history when that has been done to us, or when that's been done to other vulnerable groups. My point is, in terms of the debates, try not to spend so much time on that, because, you know, not everyone, like myself, like you, Santita, or Mike, understands the dimensions, the various dimensions of that immigration debate, you know, the way we do, right? So it's like, you know, I even think that going back to that debate format issue, I really think that there should be multiple debates and there should be a debate on a specific topic. So if you want to talk for 2 hours about extensively about immigration, that's all you focus on. 2 hours on climate change, 2 hours on criminal and legal system reform, 2 hours on, you know, the school to prison pipeline. I think that that would be better. So, you know, everyone comes out of that debate, including the audience, as sort of subject matter experts on a particular policy matter. I'm not a fan of these debate formats either. So mm-hmm. I do totally agree with Mike. I just feel like there's got to be what's been happening in these in many of these debates so far is there's a whole lot of time that's eaten up going back and forth over immigration, or the candidates trying to burnish their immigration street credentials.
And I
think that there has to be discipline.
Yeah, and playing into somebody else's playbook, because even all the talk, as concerned as I am about racism, we're playing into a playbook, and we're not looking at policies. I mean, we're not looking at how our lives are going to be impacted. And so we've got to talk about that. And because, look, no one mentions the Haitians. They get pushed back into the sea.
Right.
I mean, come on now.
Exactly.
You got to come back. I'm going to have to sneak you in tomorrow because I want to hear what you think. But, you know, because we got to watch it tonight. And mind you, everybody, as we go, you need to watch the debates, because you don't need to watch the news and have someone tell you what they saw. Because that's mm-hmm. programming. You got to think for yourself. You got to see it yourself. You know, I mean, don't depend on someone else's view. You don't know who these news commentators, the pundits, and the anchors are. You don't know what their true politics are. You really don't.
You don't.
You know what your needs are. So look at the debates so that you can find out, so that you can demand certain things of the debates. Because these debates also, you have more control over the content than you think. No one's having a debate on poverty, on livable wages, not the fight for 15. The economists say that you need to make $23 an hour just to get your head above water. So you need to be asking some real questions, but you're going to have to take the time, and we all have to really embrace the responsibility that we as citizens have to hold everybody accountable. As an American, Democrat or Republican, you should be concerned that the Republicans are canceling primaries. That's not a Democratic or Republican issue. That's a democracy, republic issue. You need to be concerned about all of our rights. Tim is right, because we are watching a creep back on our rights. We should all be concerned. Whether I agree with his positions or not, I agree with him on that. And we have to find these places where we agree so we can all stand up for each other, and then we can go back and fight later on. On behalf of me, Lady B, I'm so glad to be back with you. Join me over here on Santita Jackson and Friends in a few minutes, like 3 minutes. Give them to me, ladies. Santita Jackson and Friends, so we can talk about this show today. And I'll be with you tomorrow so we can wrap up these debates. Charles Ellison, you know I just adore you.
You know I love you too, Santita. So feel free to have me back. It'd be a pleasure if I can, if you allow me. I'll be more than happy to spend some time with you tomorrow.
Let's bring him back. We'll get a couple other people. But I do want to hear from you. I want to hear what you're hearing from people in Philly. And I want to get your impressions, because Charles has worked on the Hill. He's done all of that. Everybody, stay tuned for Stephanie Miller here and my girl, Joni Esposito, this afternoon on WCPT 820, the nation's largest progressive talk radio station. I love you. I'm Santita Jackson. Be with you tomorrow. Bye.